Radio Daily for Halfway Day.
We're so close.
It's going to happen. It's going to be weekend. Kids are going to have homework and stuff, and they're not going to want to do it. It's going to feel a little more normal until you realize that Monday, when they go back to school, they're going down the hall. But other than that, things are moving along pretty good. You got to look at it. Welcome to the 9th of September, everybody. We're the fine folks from GeekRadioDaily.com. You know us from all kinds of places that you do. The folks that are bringing it to you today, well, the man that knows how to get things done in the corporate world, that there is podcasting George Siegfried.
I can't authorize that.
Which is why I didn't ask permission.
Damn!
Yeah.
Getting it done. Podcasting with me. I'm just the guy that knows what you need to do in life. I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
I reckon you've got to try a few things in life without a safety net. How is he going to know you're alive?
Right? Come on. What happened this day, sir?
In 1839, English astronomer John Herschel makes the first glass plate photograph. The picture is of the 40-foot, 48-inch aperture telescope used by his father, William Herschel, in Slough, England.
1886, the Berne Convention for the Protection of Literary and Artistic Works, developed at the instigation of famed author Victor Hugo, is finalized and joined by 10 nations, not including the United States.
1892, Amalthea, the third moon of Jupiter in order of distance from the planet, is discovered by Edward Emerson Bernard, who names it after a nymph in Greek mythology.
1926, the National Broadcasting Company, NBC, is formed in the U.S. by the Radio Corporation of America, RCA.
1934, the first American rocket to break the sound barrier is launched by the American Rocket Society from Marine Park in Staten Island, New York.
1940, Dr. George R. Stibitz, a Bell Telephone Labs engineer, demonstrates the first example of remote computing.
1945, at the Naval Weapons Center in Dahl Green, Virginia, Grace Murray Hopper records the discovery of the first actual computer bug by the computer's operators at 3:45 p.m. in her logbook with the explanation, first instance of actual computer bug being found. The bug is literally just that, a moth which had become stuck in relay number 70 on panel F of the Harvard Mark II Aiken relay calculator.
God, read that late 70s, early 80s book, Bug. Weird. 1950, in his premiere episode, the sitcom The Hank McCune Show becomes the first television program in history to use dubbed laughter, or a laugh track, that is still used in many sitcoms today.
I think it's the exact same one, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much.
All those people are dead.
Yep.
1967, the animated sci-fi series Birdman and the Galaxy Trio, produced by Hanna-Barbera, debuts on NBC. The series actually consists of two separate series, as Birdman and the Galaxy Trio never appeared together in any of the episodes.
1975, NASA launches the Viking 2 space probe on a mission to Mars. It consists of two components, a lander and an orbiter.
1977, the first TRS-80 computer is sold.
Wow. 1982, Conestoga, the world's first private commercial rocket, is launched on a suborbital flight.
1983, Nintendo releases the platform game Mario Brothers for the NES in Japan. It is a spin-off of the Donkey Kong series and the first game in which Mario, who formerly was a carpenter, is now a plumber.
1989, the animated series Captain N, the Game Master, premieres as part of the Saturday morning cartoon lineup on NBC.
Loved it. 1991, Nintendo of America reports that the 16-bit Super NES game console is now available nationwide in the United States. The price was $199.95.
The Switch is only $100 more, if you can find one in stock. 1992, Universal Pictures releases the thriller Sneakers, directed by Phil Alden Robinson, starring Robert Redford, Dan Aykroyd, Ben Kingsley, Mary McDonnell, River Phoenix, Sidney Poitier, David Strathairn, and James Earl Jones, and it's a great movie, and that might have been the first movie we did a commentary track for in the old show. I don't know anymore.
1995, Sony releases the PlayStation video game system in the U.S. to more than 12,000 retail stores.
1996, Capcom releases the Versus fighting game X-Men vs. Street Fighter arcades in Japan. Due to insufficient beta testing, every character in the game has at least one infinite combo.
1999, the date, 9999, which was a cause for grave concern among many programmers, causes far fewer difficulties than feared among programmers designed to acknowledge 9999 as an end of file or EOF marker. However, the date doesn't go by without any notice. Risks Digest reports that at least one bank credited a number of random customers with large sums of money due to a software error.
Not me. Same day, same year, Sega releases the Dreamcast video game system in the U.S. And I got one of the first ones in this country. Thank you, Midnight Releases at GameStop.
Nice. Also, Texas Governor George W. Bush posts a list that details sources and sizes of contributions to his presidential campaign on his website, The move marks the increasing role of the internet in U.S. political campaigns. Now, it usually ends up being Exhibit A through T.
2000, it's discovered that the hole in the ozone layer over Antarctica has stretched over a populated city for the first time. After ballooning to a new record size for 2 days, September 9th and 10th, the hole extends over the southern city of Punta Arenas, Chile, exposing residents to dangerously high levels of ultraviolet radiation. Data from NASA shows the hole covers 11.4 million square miles, an area more than three times the area of the United States.
2002, filmmaker Bart Sobrell, a proponent that the six Apollo lunar missions were elaborate hoaxes, confronts astronaut Buzz Aldrin outside a Beverly Hills, California hotel, demanding that Aldrin either swear an oath on the Bible that he had walked on the moon or admit it was all a hoax. After Aldrin and a female relative who was accompanying him tried to leave, Sobrell put the Bible in front of him and called Aldrin a coward, a liar, and a thief. Aldrin punched Sobrell in the face. Beverly Hills police and the city's prosecutor declined to file charges because Buzz Aldrin walked on the moon.
Right. That's such a great video. Birthdays?
Michelle Williams is 40 from Species, H2O, Dick, But I'm a Cheerleader, Dawson's Creek, Brokeback Mountain, Oz, The Great and Powerful, and Venom.
Henry Thomas is 49 years of age from E.T., Cloak and Dagger, Fire in the Sky, Suicide Kings, Gangs of New York, the underloved, underappreciated 1114, Betrayal, and was amazing in The Haunting of Hill House.
True. Eric Stone Street, 49, from The Island, CSI, Identity Thief, Sophia the First, Secret Life of Pets, and of course, Modern Family.
Julia Swahala is 52 from Absolutely Fabulous, Chicken Run, and of course was great in Doctor Who, Curse of the Fatal Death.
Adam Sandler is 54. From Airheads, Billy Madison, Happy Gilmore, Wedding Singer, 8 Crazy Nights, at least one good album, and of course, Shakes the Clown.
Hugh Grant is 60, from Lair of the White Worm, The Englishman Who Went Up a Hill But Came Down a Mountain, About a Boy, Love Actually, Cloud Atlas, and The Man from Uncle.
And also loves helping out pedestrians.
Him and Eddie Murphy are so giving.
I know, right? It's just community service. John Crefalsi, 65, from Mighty Mouse, The New Adventures, and The Ren and Stimpy Show.
Tom Wopat is 69 years of age. He was Luke on Dukes of Hazzard, Sybil, and Longmire.
I didn't know he was on Longmire. Yeah, I have to go back and watch it. And also, a really good singer. Born and staying along with us in 1899, Neil Hamilton from the 1926 Great Gatsby, The Mysterious Dr. Fu Manchu, The Return of Dr. Fu Manchu, Tarzan, The Ape Man, and Commissioner Gordon in Batman.
1923, Cliff Robertson from PT-109, Shame on Batman 66, Charlie, Brainstorm Escape from L.A., and was Uncle Ben in Raimi's Spider-Man.
And 1931, Margaret Tyzak from 2001 A Space Odyssey and A Clockwork Orange.
She didn't have the cool artwork. The other lady in that movie.
Ah, on CBS, we've got a new Big Brother, Love Island, and 48 Hours, Suspicion.
ABC, The Goldbergs, and Blackish are reruns, as I suppose is American Housewife and The Goldbergs again, and The Conners. It's just reruns. Who cares? It's a stew.
NBC has results show number 5 on A New America's Got Talent, and a rerun of Ellen's Game of Games, and Chicago Fire.
Ah, fuck. Fox has a rerun of Master Chief, and another rerun of Master Chief.
Is it Le Chief? Is it Mads Mikkelsen from the Casino? That'd be dope. CW, Clark's plans are derailed by the Red Sun on a new The 100 and The Coroner.
Over on Freeform, it's Despicable Me.
AMC has Bad Boys 2. What you gonna do?
What are they going to continue to do? FX has Kingsman the Golden Circle.
FXX has Alpha.
FXM, why him? That guy there, why?
Because IFC has The Shining.
Okay. BBC America has The Conjuring. And again, Hide and Clap is one of the best horror sequences in the last 20 years in film. Watch it for that alone.
Siffy has The Tookin' 2.
TBS will be entertaining us with Full Frontal with Samantha Bee. You know how I feel about this. I don't have to keep repeating myself. You know. Okay? You know that I know that you know. Okay? Cool.
TNT has The Bourne Supremacy.
True TV has Rush Hour.
USA has the 2020 Stanley Cup playoffs. That's the guy from The Office, right?
Yes, he is. Can't wait to see him chop it down on those Cheerios. Science has NFL Super Stadiums.
VH1 has All Eyes on Me.
But we're watching the Lifetime Movie Network. After losing her mother in an accident, the teenager and her father welcome a distant cousin into their home. Hoping to claim the family as her own, the psychopath hatches a devious plan to recreate the prom she never experienced. Yvonne Zima, and Mark Lutz star in Killer Prom.
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what Chad and Abby are up to now. If you know what TV show they're on this week, you could win yourself a prize. It's your Further Adventures of Chad and Abby update. Chad goes undercover as a catering waiter at the Chinese embassy to support senior agent Abe's mission to recover stolen tank plans. He's going to help by reprogramming the surveillance cameras. However, a double agent who just happens to have a past with Abe betrays them, and Chad must find a way to get them out alive. Abe knows their situation is grim. He tries to contact Tommy for help so he can live out the rest of the days of our lives. Hashtag Chappy. Forever.
Well, let's read some emails, shall we?
Morning, geeks. On Monday, Fox was showing Draft Day, the Kevin Costner movie about the Cleveland Browns general manager's life surrounding the NFL draft. It was probably part of the general salutes being made. The drama centered around a player played by Chadwick Boseman. Just goes to show even signing Black Panther himself can't help the Cleveland Browns. That is from Mad Sci. Well, I'm glad you could.
Oh, hold on. At first, I thought you said giraffe. And then I not draft, and I was very confused, but I was immediately, not going to lie, enthralled.
Giraffe Day. I'm so glad you cleared that up. I was really thinking that I know that football is trying to come back, so I'm like, they're doing the draft this. I don't even know what's happening anymore. It's so confusing. If you can keep us up to date on what shows are actually being shown, since we don't look them up so much as we just read things straight off of a list, drop a note to podcast@geekradiodaily.com. And of course, tell us all the people that you would have put in there instead. Do that by text or by voice, because I don't know that email will serve you well. Either way, you need the number.
510-GRD-CREW.
And definitely tell us who your number one giraffe pick is.
This is Travis from twitch.tv/TravisTavernTalk, and I'm a writing beast. I write fantasy like the Downfall series and the Portal series, sci-fi like my Silver and Smith and Ethium, and non-fiction like my 27 Thoughts on Life series, all on my live stream. You can find these books and more on Amazon.com or go to bit.ly/TravisBooks. That's bit.ly/TravisBooks.
I am Joe Lansdale, and I'm here to say you need to listen to Geek Radio Daily.
And anything that man has to say or read, because he is just simply a delight.
Actually, I'm looking for a Batman number 14.
That's a very serious book, man.
That's right. They're all out there, and they're waiting for us to hit the shop. And when we get there, sir, what are we going to find?
Well, from Detective Comics, we've got Detective Comics number 1027, Metal Men in number 10 of 12, Teen Titans 45, and Adam Strange is the hero of Ran, a man famous throughout the galaxy for his bravery and honor. After leading his adopted home to victory in a great planetary war, Adam and his wife Alana retire to Earth, where they are greeted by cheers, awards, and parades. But not all is happy and nice as it seems, as the decisions Adam made during battles on Ran came back to haunt his family and threaten the entire DC universe. And now a surprise DC hero will have to choose between saving Adam Strange and saving the world in Strange Adventures 1 of 12.
Over at Marvel, Amazing Spider-Man Sins of Norman Osborn at number 1. X-Men Battle for the Serpent Crown wraps up its 5 X-Men Marvel snapshots at number 1. And Tony Stark's looking to restart his engine. He decides he's going back to basics, putting away the high-tech toys, high-profile image so he can get his hands dirty again. Time to dig in the guts of real machines, put some old-fashioned metal on and fly. But can he really lay the Stark-sized ego down? Life isn't that simple. Something old friends and frustrating foes are quick to point out. You strip down a billionaire to his bolts, does he run solid or just overheat? Tony's going to find out once a threat to the entire universe rears its head from the past. And Iron Man, number 1.
From Boom Studios, we've got Firefly, number 20. Jim Henson's The Dark Crystal, Age of Seven Secrets, number 2. From Vault Comics, we've got Bleed Them Dry, number 3. Finger Guns, number 5. Vampire, The Masquerade, number 2. And Bill may be dead, but he's got a job to do. Welcome to The Big Wait, where folks who don't quite make the cut go to work off their debt. Everyone in the wait's got a job. Bill is a heavy, whose job is policing the multiverse, making sure bad eggs get what's coming to them. He's on track to earn his climb and reunite with the woman he loves, until he meets his new partner, the worst dude of all time, in Heavy, number 1.
Over at Image, it's Big Girls, number 2. Headlopper, number 13, mm-hmm. and Stillwater, number 1. From IDW Publishing, it's G.I. Joe, number 8, Sonic the Hedgehog, 32, and Star Trek, year 5, number 14. Then up against an army of Decepticons, the T-800 must rely on his Autobot allies to even the odds. And with luck, both sides will thin each other out for the last gambit to eliminate all Cybertronians. The fate of the future will be determined in this final battle. But will the ultimate victors be robotic or human? Find out in Transformers vs. the Terminator, number 4.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News!
Taking a look at the world from a geeky point of view. Despite what you incorrectly thought about Prometheus and what you correctly thought about Covenant, Ridley Scott has confirmed that there is another alien movie in the works that will probably not going to be in the prequel universe.
So he's finally making a sequel to Resurrection?
We went down a route to try and reinvent the wheel with Prometheus and Covenant, Scott said, who talks exactly like that. Whether or not we go directly back to that is doubtful because Prometheus woke it up very well. But you know, you're asking fundamental questions like, has the alien himself, the facehugger, the chestburster, have they all run out of steam? Do you have to rethink the whole bloody thing and simply use the word franchise? That's always the fundamental question.
I thought the question involved a check clearing.
Don't forget that Scott is on record stating that it might be time to renew the Xenomorph, as he once said. We went to Covenant to perpetuate the idea and re-evolve the universe of the alien, who I think the beast has almost run out, personally. You gotta come up with something else, something new. You gotta replace that, he said to Yahoo back in 2017.
Maybe he should give us a real Alien versus Predator movie.
That, or delve into the backstory of the potential real bad guys in this verse. Weyland Yutani, the Space Cowboy, or the real Dark Mastermind who has been hinted at all along.
Supernatural actor Jensen Ackles has revealed that when the long-running fantasy series comes to an end later this year, he'll be taking home an iconic prop from the set.
The Jawbone Blade? The Concentrates? Bobby's Flask? Castiel? We got you, Destiel Shippers.
Ackles, who has played Dean Winchester on the CW show since 2005, said that he has finally been given permission to take possession of something from the show that he's had his eye on for years.
Jared? Wait. We condone the actors being shipped, not the characters.
I begged and pleaded for years, but I finally got it this year. They're going to let me drive home the Impala.
Well, carry on, my wayward son.
Although his co-star, Jared Padalecki, who plays Sam Winchester, has missed out on the Impala, he won't be leaving the set empty-handed either, even if he couldn't manage to grab one particular memento. I have a few trinkets here and there, but I'll never admit to it, he said. I have tons of shit. I have a few trinkets that will stay with me forever that won't be missed by the production.
Most of which are Jensen's towels, in case he's too typecast and the autographic circuit isn't as lucrative.
The pair didn't give us any major spoilers about what will go down in the show's final ever episode, but they did promise that it will be an emotional experience. Saying, with both of these last two scripts, I got highly emotional just reading them, Eccles said. I'm going to have to dig deep when we film the end. I'm going to have to do what Dean does and push all that emotion down. Hey, look, we love you guys. And after 47 seasons, it's going to be fine. Just don't you cry no more.
Microsoft has finally and officially announced their second next-gen console, the smaller, cheaper Xbox Series S, and it's cheap.
So many more red rings are coming.
While the bigger next-gen machines from both Microsoft, the Series X, and Sony PlayStation 5 are expected to sell later this year for about $500, the smaller S is priced at only $299.
Always copying Nintendo.
Now the pros, if physical backwards compatibility is not an issue for you, and you're not the type to trade in your disc at places like GameStop, then the S is going to be very tempting. It's almost the perfect Game Pass machine, and it's, of course, $200 cheaper than what we're expecting from the X.
A disc drive does not cost $200.
Which is why most of us expect some serious compromises in terms of specs that, besides the loss of the drive, yeah, you know, they're going to scale some stuff back. It's long been believed that the performance gap between the X and the S would be about the same as the Xbox One and the Xbox One X.
Well, that isn't worth $200 either.
One report says that the Series S will target around 4 teraflops of GPU versus the 12 in the Series X and the 6 in the One X. Now look, if you're a diehard Xbox person, let us know how that goes. If you can live without discs, if the hard drive's going to be big enough, and if you were happy to have spent another $300 just to play Uno again.
A collection of at least 13 wooden coffins dating back to 2,500 years ago has been discovered in the desert necropolis of Saqqara in Egypt.
It's a trap!
What makes these coffins so special among the thousands interred in the tomb complex is the fact that they have remained intact for millennia and are still completely sealed hundreds of years after their inhabitants died.
And I'm going to slap the first person that says they should be opened.
According to Egypt's recently minted Ministry of Tourism and Antiquities, the coffins were found in a burial shaft 11 meters or 36 feet below the ground, stacked on top of each other. They're so well preserved, even some of the colors painted on the wood are still intact. An initial analysis has found that the coffins have likely been sealed since they were buried.
With a curse! This is 2020! Don't be stupid!
Inside the burial shaft, three sealed niches were also found. Minister Khalid al-Anani said that it's likely there are more coffins in the shaft yet to be discovered.
And with any luck, they'll all be too wrapped up in themselves to bother us.
Given that the coffins are made of wood and were buried in a dry location, the possibility of any eerie liquid preserved within is probably quite low.
Why risk it? Just wait 3 months!
The potential grave goods, however, could not only tell us who was buried, but how important they were. The discovery is likely to add to our ever-growing understanding of ancient Egyptian funerary customs, unless it is written in Latin. I am drawing a line in the sand. Do not read the Latin.
You know, the original Game Boy was portable, had Nintendo's name on it, even had decent battery life. I mean, four little AA batteries could get you games like Tetris, Super Mario Land for 10 to 15 hours. That was something that made the Game Boy so much more appealing than its contemporaries. But as it turns out, it's possible to improve, even on a classic.
Yeah, we all had a Game Boy Color.
A team of researchers made up of computer scientists from Northwestern University in Illinois and the Delft University of Technology in the Netherlands have developed a Game Boy that uses no batteries at all.
Oh, you gotta crank it?
All you need to play the Game Boy, officially called the Engage, for hours on end is some sunlight and frantic button mashing. It's got solar panels attached to the front of the device to provide a primary source of powers, and your button presses help generate additional power as well.
Oh, the Konami code alone gets you 12 and a half minutes of playtime.
It's not a perfect system. There's some major drawbacks. When it's not too cloudy inside, you can get about 10 seconds of uninterrupted gameplay from the Engage Game Boy before it needs to shut down for a second. It also can't play any sounds of any kind, but you can still continuously play games thanks to an innovative framework for storing system data to memory that allows you to pick up exactly where you left off, even if you lost power in the middle of trying to land the perfect jump in Super Mario Land on that third level. It was so damn difficult. It's not ideal, but this allows you to play slower-paced games relatively easy.
Which means Konami's football will play perfectly.
More so than being a fun DIY project, the Engage is proof of a concept. When they set to build out their Game Boy, the Engage team wanted to show it was possible to create an interactive device that doesn't need batteries. They know what they've created is only a first step. It will take a lot more work before your Switch and other electronics don't need batteries, but it's still a significant step forward for the field of intermittent computing. So for now, pick up an Engage, and you'll be playing with potential perpetual power! That's something we've waited for our entire lives, huh?
Yeah, no kidding.
10 seconds into the GRD is less of the creative commerce attribution, non-commercial, non-derivative works, 96.3 likes. Can check us on Facebook and Twitter, some of the ones that get rid of daily. .com even. See, I did it a little soon, but I wanted to see if you were paying attention. And you were, so you get a gold star. Because I keep track of all those things, don't I, Jared? Sorry, that's a private joke. What am I going to do? Drop us a note, won't you, please? It's podcast at geekradiodaily.com. Or, of course, send us a voicemail message. Send us a text. Make sure you put your name in that. Just use the magic numbers of
510-GRD.
And we'll get to seeing you.
Such a gigantic walking nightmare.
This is no respectable establishment.
This has been the saddest excuse for entertainment I've ever seen.
The world is not in your books and maps. It's out there.
Welcome to Video Land.
We've got to rescue the princess.
Check 6, check 7, check 8-bit bullshit. Giving the nerds something to roll with. Yeah. We're gonna party like it's 1986. Blow in the cartridge and get your fix. Whoa. You all know me, I'm that rapper with an iron power glove and a sawed-off zapper.
Okay.
Electric light in your skulls. Direct hit, you explode in the pixels. Woo. Transported to the land long ago. You know what they say, Nintendo's before hoes. All the lonely boys will agree. Life was tough. tough when Rob was your only buddy. But don't worry, girls, the shit's for you too. Even chicks exist, shocking but true. So come on, come on, D-O-R-K-S. Follow me on a journey through the NES. I am the one, Matt Hatter's my name. The prodigal son, a video game. I can't be outdone, that is my claim. And when I am done, I won't be the same. I am the one, Matt Hatter's my name. The prodigal son, a video game. I can't be outdone, I don't give a damn. That guy's better run, because I am the game master. Incredible skills to get thrills, wreck up kills, and dodge bullet bills. Like the Matrix, yes. But don't hate this, no. You can go ahead and diss if you insist, yeah. There's a lot of haters out there that think this is dumb, but there's a lot more people that know where I'm coming from. Now I got this dorky flow to lay on ya. Reppin' nerds before nerdcore was a genre. Up, down, down, left, right, B, A, select, start, me and player two, gonna tear us apart.